guys. Welcome back. Lost in Space, Hilarity for Charity, and The Chef's Table Pastry. Coming up next, Netflix Picks.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Yes! Yes! It's back! The Star Wars After Show! No, we're not Star Wars.
Nah.
Sadly.
Actually, here's a question for my panel is, who is the composer of this song? It's Steve Kaufman. You're not allowed to answer.
If anybody doesn't know the answer to this...
John Williams.
Of course it's John Williams.
Okay. Of course, Ashley Cheney kind of looks at Amy Cassandra to be like, wait, is it or is it not?
Oh, get out of town right now.
We played this in orchestra in my high school, guys.
Hey, guys. Welcome back. You're watching Netflix Picks. I'm Rick Hung. I'm joined by Ashley Cheney to my left.
Hi, guys. Good to see you. Welcome back.
And we're joined by Amy Cassandra Martinez.
Hi, guys. I'm in the chat. Join us.
And this guy, I mean, I don't know where this guy's been. I don't know who this guy is.
Who are you again? What's your name? I don't remember your name.
I'm Steve Kaufman. I was in New Mexico, and then I was in New Orleans. I wasn't in New Haven, New York, New Jersey. I wasn't in any of those news, but I was in two news.
Okay.
For like a lot of weeks. It was a lot of fun.
So it's like a whole new studio to you because it's been so long since you've been here.
It was a newcation.
Yeah, you don't remember even how to be here, do you?
I guess. What is that? Did I do something?
No. I'm just saying we had a great time while you were gone, man.
Wow.
I didn't even miss Steve Kaufman. So no, guys. Hey, so this week, one of the biggest things that dropped on Netflix, and this one is dear to my heart because I remember watching this series as a kid. Because according to Ashley Cheney, I was 10 years old in 1974.
Old.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, but what I wanted to do is, in case you guys didn't know that this show was created back in the 60s, here's a little fun fact. John Williams was the composer for this intro that we're about to play for you right now.
I see what you did there, Hong. I see what you did.
And this is before Star Wars, keep in mind. Before, like, or maybe this is why George Lucas asked John Williams. This is before Jaws. This is before Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Sounds very John Williams, if you ask me.
And that's his brother, Guy Williams.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? So what's interesting about this is when the show debuted, it actually debuted in black and white.
Mm-hmm.
This is a season 3 opening, which is in color.
Wow.
And that's a common thing. That's a common thing in old television. I think, wasn't the first 2 seasons of Gilligan's Island were in black
and
white?
Uh-huh. And like, I mean, Bonanza.
But they colorized, I believe, the first 2 seasons that, like, it's actually hard to find black and white Gilligan's Island.
Oh,
correct
wow.
me if I, send me links if I'm wrong, but like most of the Gilligan's Islands I've ever seen was in color.
Oh, wow.
Dr. Smith.
It's just one of those, if a show transcends format almost.
So was this show back in the day, these are all adults, so this is all like a grown-up version of Lost in Space, but this Netflix version is...
An adult version of Lost in Space.
It is?
Yeah.
No, this was...
So here's some fun...
There's a kid.
Yeah, don't move.
Child.
So, no, here's some fun facts about Lost in Space. So the family's last name is Robinson.
Like Robinson Crusoe?
No, like
Swiss Family Robinson.
Family Robinson.
Okay,
so this, the basic premise of this show is Swiss Family Robinson in space.
Okay, got it.
And so it aired for about 3 seasons, and it was supposed to be just like, yeah, this like dramatic series, and then I think what happened is that eventually it ended up kind of turning into Freak of the Week. They would kind of bump into these like cheesy, campy aliens, and like that would kind of be the series. And from what I read, that apparently irked the kind of like the lead actor a bit because he was just like, there's not a lot of story to this. Kind of like what happened with the dad that was in Brady Bunch. He did this. He was the same thing for him too. Like he got annoyed with kind of the storylines of how the series went.
And it's not like he's Doctor Who where he can reincarnate, because Doctor Who went through something very similar by nature of just being a TV show for a long running time, that it ebbs and flows and changes. That similarly, like this, because at a certain point this kind of got a little comical.
Yeah, that was the whole thing. Is like, yeah, they turned, like I said, our Freak of the Week. They just kind of turned it into just, let's make it really, really, really campy.
And like, campy, and like it, I don't, at the time, and by the time, I mean TV Land when I was a child watching it, that like at the time it read as just good sci-fi to me.
Yeah.
But that's because I didn't have a frame of reference for good sci-fi.
Right, we were kids, yeah. I mean, imagine if you take Han Solo and Chewbacca, and every week, if they were a TV series, they would just meet like different people in the cantina. the different types of aliens.
Funny that's that kind you should of, mention that.
Yeah, that's kind of what Lost in Space turned into. And so for the longest time, yeah, it went away. And there have been numerous reboots, and they actually did it into a movie back in like the 2000s.
The Matt LeBlanc movie. It was like it was like the mid 90s.
Yeah,
so I remember this because it was Friends, like peak of Friends mania. Yes, Matt LeBlanc was in the Lost in Space reboot.
So I mean, it was I thought that was a big miscasting as because Joey as like kind of like the lead.
Joey, I think anything other than Joey at the time of Friends is
true.
Impossible.
True. And I think this is Matt LeBlanc kind of trying to stretch his. How people viewed him, but yeah. I mean, it had Bill Hurt, William Hurt as the father,
Gary Oldman as the villain.
Yeah, Gary Oldman was the villain.
It's on Netflix, by the way. The Lost in Space.
No, it is.
1998.
So
you guys
can watch that. That also was not very good. I mean, the series is great if you can kind of stand like the campiness of it. The series was great. I love watching
original
it.
Series 1960s.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I love watching it in reruns as a kid, but. The movie was not good, and I believe that there was another reboot that they tried for television that didn't go to series. Mm-hmm. And then now you've got this one, which I thought was a perfect pairing of Netflix with this franchise.
It looks like, just from the previews, it looks like a huge cinematic,
yes,
like big budget sci-fi thing. Which, and I mean, granted, we're comparing it to something that's, you know, 60 years old, it's or 50 years old itself, but it just looked like such a bigger budget.
Yeah.
Sci-fi deal. But it seemed like a lot of kid leads. I didn't see as many adults.
So did any of you guys see
it? I didn't
I'm
see
four episodes in.
You're four episodes in.
I'm four in, yeah.
I'm part of the first episode in.
So you're talking to like a guy. If there were different franchises in Hollywood, Lost in Space probably would have been one of them for me to say, this is something that I would love to go produce as like a movie or as a series. So I might have had expectations that are too high. Mm-hmm. On top of the fact that one of our friends had seen the first five episodes and said it holds up pretty well. Mm-hmm. But for me, after watching it, I'm kind of...
So have you seen all of it? How far have you gotten?
I mean, that was the problem. I finished all 10 episodes.
Okay.
Over the weekend. However, it wasn't like a page turner for me. It was like I could actually have it on the background a little bit. If certain things happened, I wasn't like, wait, what just happened? Let me rewind back and go back and watch it. Mm-hmm. I could kind of space out a little bit and just kind of say, let me keep them going forward. And so here's the bad sign. When I sit there and say, when I watch something that's original, a part of a first series, and I say, I need to watch the second piece of it, meaning like the second season to see where it goes, that's not a good sign. I'm imagining they spent a crap ton of money on this. It's 10 episodes.
This looks pretty expensive for 10 episodes. For 10 episodes... I ultimately enjoyed it. I thought there was a bit of a slog to get to episode 3. And that
once
you break to episode 3, you kind of know whether these characters have grown on you and this conflict has grown on you. I thought that the conflict was very clear, that there were no and-thens, at least in the first four episodes.
And then?
Like, no and then to get them to the next
thing.
They know
it. I love it. Dude.
But everything is super organic to get them to the next thing, that it doesn't feel like a string of, and then this happened, and that happened, and this happened. So I liked the storytelling. Some of the characters felt a little underdeveloped. Some of the characters felt a little overdeveloped. And it also felt like it was trying to be a sci-fi action and family drama.
Yeah.
Like, it did try to be a lot of things. And, like, when I didn't like it in these three and a half episodes I've seen, that's where it laid for me, where I was like,
So you're 3.5 in. Amy, how far in are you?
Part of one.
I
just, you know, you have to be in a certain kind of mood to watch something like this, and I just was not in.
Yeah, what makes me happy, though, too, is that you really are looking at this with fresh eyes.
Yeah.
Like, you've probably never seen that opening before. You probably didn't know, half the information. That's why you guys watch our show, because I'm just kidding.
Because we get different perspectives. Old-timey Hong over here. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Well, going into the chat, some people were talking about it, okay, so So Chill 4 said, I was going to only watch one episode, then ended up seeing the whole series.
Okay.
Oh,
nice. Okay. So it's hooking some.
Definitely let us know if you did watch it, how much you watched, and what you thought about it.
Well, I'm curious for you too, because you powered through. You saw all 10 episodes. You kind of felt like it was a chore. But for you guys that are earlier on, are you compelled? Like, do you want to get back and watch more?
Well, Amy
of
said
it?
She has to be in a certain mood, and then you Steve, certain, you're yeah. I'm, jury's out for you, right?
Jury's out for me. I'm probably gonna stick through episode 4 because I started episode 4.
Okay,
and then I'm gonna see because they. I like how things are constantly moving, but that might get annoying by episode 10. Of like, God, we this journey seems so contrived.
I mean,
we were in one place at episode one, and now we're completely somewhere else in episode 10.
This is the best way that I can put it. Star Drew said it best. Is you, Star Drew, you said, watch Lost in Space, Gilligan Island, and Adam West Batman. That's what Lost in Space kind of turned into, was like the Adam West mm-hmm. Batman. So it's a little campy where there's like this cool premise, you know, like Batman and Robin, but it's a little campy with the villains. And yeah. that's exactly what happened in Lost in Space. Cool premise, kind of cheesy villains, but... that's kind of like what made the series the series.
Also, the Lost in Space series, as written in the 50s, right? 60s. 60s into 70s, I believe, was the original Lost in Space series. They didn't pull any punches with the fact that something happened in Earth where they had to relocate everybody. Like, in the near future, something happened yeah. in Earth where everyone has to relocate, and all this family got onto a spaceship, and then the spaceship wound up somewhere, and they don't know where. And, like, that's... so, like, there's a horrifying implication... late into the IP of, oh, by the way, Earth is uninhabitable and everyone has to leave, and we're trying desperately to be one of the families that get to leave. Where I think this show in 2018 deals with that a lot differently than even the 98 movie ever. Remember the 98 movie completely glossed over the fact that, like...
98 movie was awful. That they can erase that from the lore. I look at that as a Phantom Menace.
Are these half-hour shows or hour-long?
Hour.
Hour-long. Okay, so you got to kind of really settle in.
Yeah, like, I mean, okay, so, like, I'll put things in perspective. If you're sitting down and I talked about Altered Carbon. Altered Carbon is slow. It's slow, but it picks up and it ends up really, really, really well. Lost in Space is just very, 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 very even.
Okay.
Well, I mean, and okay, someone mentioned earlier that there is a comic book, and it is called, hold on, I will
Bad Bunny. Bad Bunny said. Bad Bunny, yeah. Thanks for watching.
Rick knows.
Hi. Well, yes, but there is a name to it. Called Anakin64 said there was a comic called Space Family Robinson in early 60s.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So wonder, yeah, okay. I'll do
a little research on it, but...
you know.
Moving along, so take that for what it's worth in terms of Lost in Space. Moving along. Ashley Chania, what do we got?
Well, next up, we have to tell you guys about a podcast that's created by not just one of our own, but sort of the matriarch, if you will. It's called Conversations with Maria. It's an amazing podcast that is going to teach you things, help you learn and grow, and it's also just lots of fun. Conversations with Maria. It's on iTunes. It drops every Friday. And as you guys know, Maria Menounos is the matriarch of AfterBuzz. She's the reason we're here. She's the reason you guys are here watching us. So we love to send our viewers and our listeners over to her podcast. She features celebrity and influencer interviews, along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all areas of your life. It's good stuff, from health and wellness to career, relationships, finance, more. All the good stuff that we all want to know about. You can hear it on her podcast every Friday, Conversations with Maria. Just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria. Have I said that? Conversations with Maria?
That may have come up.
Maria Menounos.
It's free, you guys. It's free. Get over there. And when you do get over there, be sure to tell her that your pals over at Netflix Picks sent you over there, so she knows that we are sending just as much love back her way. Conversations with Maria.
True that.
Yeah, and she watches us because I tell you, Maria, I tell you what you should be watching. These guys do. So something that everybody should watch that's on this platform. Steve Kaufman, I believe that you were going to watch it. I watched it. Hilarity for Charity.
I did watch Hilarity for Charity.
What'd you think?
Well, no, I...
There's a good cause behind this.
It was a great cause. Everyone should watch it and be active with that cause. I do think part of what makes you want to watch it is that they have such a star-studded lineup. Mm-hmm. Part of what made it disappointing for me is that star-studded lineup did 5 minutes each. So for me, it was more Charity, less Hilarity. Because, like, yeah, you have Tiffany Haddish, but she comes up and does one bit and leaves. But I also understand you can't get Tiffany Haddish on a Sunday night any other time. If you can, like, hey, just roll up and do one bit. Roll up and do one bit. You can do some pickups if you need to. And then, like, we get to put your name in the title.
I kind of like it that way. Now, granted, I haven't seen this special yet. I've been off in Foodland, which we'll get to later. But
Wait,
so it's
what?
On my queue.
What? Foodland? That was last week. What are you talking about?
Oh, she's always in Foodland.
Go ahead,
But I actually prefer... Now, I mean, I haven't seen it yet. It's on my queue. Mm-hmm. When I'm hearing that, that's actually what I prefer, is to see little bits of lots of comedians, because sometimes it can be a lot.
But it wasn't a lot of comedians. It was a lot of Seth Rogen bits. So interspersed with the probably 10 comedians he had for the, for the 90 minutes.
I mean, none of this is a spoiler because you just have to watch it if that's the case.
It's a lineup. That's not a spoiler.
They did a lineup. I mean, that's Tiffany Haddish, John Mulaney. The Muppets are in there. So if you like the Muppets, the Muppets are there. And there's some animation in there done by the guys that did Rick and Morty. So like he, like Seth Rogen kind of has this. It's very graphic. So you know, you should watch it. It's good. It's good. Pickle Rick. So, the interesting thing is that they have, like, Seth Rogen has, like, this whole bit of where we're trying to hit all the categories. And so, like, that's why he has, like, all these different things throughout the thing so that they can get into, the Netflix algorithm. They even covered that with Jeff Goldblum.
I'm always in for Jeff Goldblum. Come on.
So,
report back.
I'm, like a super fan of Jeff Goldblum.
He's amazing.
The best, right?
Yes.
God, girls and Jeff Goldblum.
Oh my gosh!
I mean,
speaking of Jeff Goldblum, you guys, LA locals, he plays
at the Rock Bus.
How did you guys
Wednesday night?
That's
okay. Well, field trip.
My friend.
Are you a girl in LA and not already have a picture with Jeff Goldblum from the Rock?
That's kind of true too. My friend does. Like, my friend loves Jeff Goldblum. And then she literally was able to go on stage with him because it was like, who sounds the most like Jeff Goldblum? And she sounds nothing like him, but she has her picture with him now on her Instagram, and that's like her whole I think she can. I don't know. I think it's like definitely like number one bucket list was.
I can't wait.
Really?
Oh, Jeff Goldblum.
Jeff Goldblum?
If it
The Why Fly? Are you have asking? You, like,
have you ever seen The Fly?
It's universal. It's Everybody
role.
Loves
It's Jeff a Goldblum. Role. He's Rick, not Rick, actually
gonna,
the
Rick,
Fly.
Rick, you're not going to win this. You're not going to win this argument.
Why do you think? I don't not like Jeff Goldblum, but I don't see it. That's all. Just,
anybody in the chat room want to back me up on the Jeff
Goldblum? They're going to back her up. Just let it. Just let it.
Take it away, friends. Take it away.
Just let it happen, Rick.
I mean, Jeff Bridges, I could see. The dude.
What?
I could see Jeff Bridges, you know.
But where does he doesn't play the rock well on Wednesdays. He plays the rock well really late on Tuesdays. You never get to see Jeffrey.
I mean, maybe Jeffrey Tambor. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Okay, but here's the thing about Hilarity for Charity. One of the reasons you should tune into it is because it is a major cause for Seth Rogen. Like, he's gone in front of Congress to talk about this. His mother-in-law, it basically promotes trying to find money for families that have to deal with a loved one that has Alzheimer's disease.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And the most saddening thing and very compelling at the same time is there's video footage of his mother-in-law. That's why he started this whole thing, where she was a teacher and they show her when she's very lively and everything. And then they show her progress over time and what she is like now. And it is literally like a full-time job, as many people that have healthcare issues is. And so this is like what's really, really important to him. And like there's no treatment for this.
How did this show raise money for the Alzheimer's cure? Is it based on streams, or how does it?
It's out there. So it's the people that attended the event.
Okay.
And then they're getting it out there. And then they sit there and say go donate to whatever the.
Within the program.
Also, this is the first televised show they've done. They've done Hilarity for Charity for about 5 years.
Yes.
Okay.
Where it's just a big telethon style show.
Yeah. But so this has the opportunity to, reach more viewers repeatedly. Mm-hmm. Obviously.
And I'm sure whatever Netflix paid, they gave a huge portion of it.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Then I'm sure Netflix paid Seth Rogen. I'm sure Netflix paid Hilarity for Charity. And then that money went into Hilarity for Charity, who uses the money as they see fit to help people.
And, I mean, the best thing I can kind of equate it to is Jerry Lewis, before he really became old. But he was a big proponent of muscular dystrophy. So he would have these telethons and people would call in, and you know, it's that was the old school way. So this is probably the more millennial new technology way of doing things.
I love that they're doing that. I don't know how many people have actually seen it, because I mean, I haven't really heard that many people talking about it.
It just dropped this week, eh?
Close to this week. I remember
last week.
Showing.
And the other thing about it too is that it's probably a little bit of an experiment, you know, whether you're going to have this piece of programming that's about charity and giving back, as opposed to necessarily a piece of programming to profit or to try to sit there and see, can we get a season two from this or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And it's also, getting into the Seth Rogen business on some end. I mean, Game Over Man was a Seth Rogen produced show, so I wouldn't mind seeing more of Seth Rogen stuff on Netflix.
I know that I'm really inclined. I can't wait to watch this because I love I think it's maybe college boy humor. Like I dig Seth Rogen. I dig the Workaholics guys. So I kind of really. I'm
are you
excited.
Talking about Game Over Man? Or are you talking about?
Didn't you say Game Over Man?
Ashley. Ashley like loved it. I hated it.
Oh, I loved it.
I did not like it.
I loved it so hard. It was so.
Because Ashley likes seeing dongs on TV. So whoa. You know.
Hey, as many other girl parts I've seen on TV, it's but about actually, time we get a dong here and there. Thank you very much. Kidding.
I enjoyed it as a comedy. I actually didn't enjoy it as a written story or movie. That was my issue was with the literal story and the character arcs and like, which is something I guess.
Oh yeah, it's like Fast and the Furious. You have to push that aside be in it for the cheap jokes.
We need to have higher.
Not for a movie.
There's
like
only
Game
one really good scene in that is that's when like they program. I forget what his name is.
Yeah, but the meat puppet thing.
Yeah,
I'm sure you guys have talked about that in my absence. That
anyways.
I don't mean to.
Oh, this show that you used to be a part of? Yeah, we talked about it last week.
All right, guys. Well, I mean, so you guys can always find us here the majority of the time on Sundays at 7 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. Always appreciate everybody that like comes in and has chats with us. Bad Bunny, Anakin64, Jay Becker, Xavier Jones Jr., SoChill4. Drew Baldwin, I don't see you here, but that's all right. Star Drew, I do. Jay Snowden. Serenity, I know you're watching somewhere like stealthily, and then you'll chime into the comments a little bit later. But thank you guys for watching. But you guys can also, you know, watch us later, obviously, like on AfterBuzzTV.com. And we're also on iTunes, and you can download us and listen to us there. You won't get to see my beautiful face, but that's
say.
All right. But you can hear Ashley's voice. So
I'll serenade you close to the mic.
Yeah, it ooh. Is what it is. And please give us 5 stars, because the rest of them don't work. So
yeah. It's for some reason it's only the 5.
If you do 1 through 4 stars, it's not a valid review and you've wasted your time.
Actually you have to pay for the 1 through star. You have to give them $1 if you read it. Kidding.
Yeah. But just like when you download for Maria for Conversations with Maria on iTunes, you can download Netflix picks. So
do it.
Yeah. Let us know in the comments that we're doing a great job for you.
Yeah, and I'll give you a shout out too. And Ashley will like bake you a cookie or something. And speaking of cookies, so you were talking about the Chef's Table pastry, which dropped, and I wanted to know what your thoughts were because
guys, do you guys get choked up when you watch food programming?
Yes.
I get emotional, like the real emotional. I love food and I love documentary and Chef's Table as an Emmy award winning show in its earlier iterations. But now it's back with my favorite topic ever. This entire season is dedicated to pastry and you guys, it's good. I'm literally, I cried. I cried.
Wait, but
I cried.
Where are my pastries?
I know. So
you
the
have
thing
to watch
is,
it first.
The thing is, and this is going to be a tie-in for the books, I just came back from visiting my lovely grandmother and grandpa in San Luis Obispo. I mean, moments before the show, guys.
And her grandma didn't bring me any pastries
and
either.
Grandma
so
totally normally bakes. She was not feeling well this week. She normally does bake awesome stuff, and I would have loved to have brought you some. She wasn't feeling so great this weekend, but
I would have accepted the cheat of where you went to the grocery store and just brought it in and said she did it.
Well, did you want me here or did you want cookies? Because that's what it came down to. But this show, to tie back in, is very much the first episode is all about Christina Tosi. And she is a David Chang sort of protege. And we talked about David Chang last week, you guys. He is also has a show on Netflix
right now. Okay.
David Chang, the creator of Momofuku.
And Major Domo in L.A.
And Major Domo in L.A. And host of Ugly Delicious, creator of Ugly Delicious. Also now streaming on Netflix. Amazing food programming as well. I think I told you guys it kind of fills the Anthony Bourdain void in my life, your lives, if you feel what I'm feeling. But this first episode was all about Christina Tosi and her sort of story of becoming the pastry chef behind Milk Bar. And Milk Bar is this, exactly, yeah, everybody knows. And she baked a lot with her grandmother and her mom. So there was a lot of, I mean, just really soulful, it's like this is feel good programming, y'all. It's so good. And so for that reason, because it's such a joyful programming for me, I will not binge this series. I will not. I refuse. I'm going to parcel it out one a week so that I have a little morsel of treat to get to because it's so good that it's like, it's also a longer show. It's an hour long. So you got to give yourself some time. Definitely, you're going to want to saddle up with some cookies, have some cookies.
There is, you know, here's a true story.
Our engineer is
why
saying
Ashley Chaney doesn't want to binge that is because she knows that she'll come back like in a week and she'll be like 50 pounds heavier.
Totally,
so.
Totally. Our engineer is chiming in, # meal plan. Yeah, cookies for life. But have you guys seen any of the Chef's Table, either old seasons or the new pastry one?
I can't say that I have.
Okay. I saw the first season, I think, and they covered an Asian sushi chef.
Totally.
Woman, like, and she was being, yes, like, and she talked about her, the whole thing, and like the, just even like the sexism in terms of like what she was trying to do. But I haven't, because I think she like, she actually caters, like she has like a whole like Excel sheet. Like, yeah, knowing who her customers are and what, wow, they preference, and then she, yes, kind of caters to like what they can eat and everything. So it's very, I'm sure it's very pricey, but also very,
it is,
like catered very to pricey, who you are. That's, or it's like there's a specific menu, and then it's just kind of like, oh, Amy Cassandra Martinez, you know, like, are you allergic to this? Are you allergic to that? So, yeah, they're very well aware.
What I love about Chef's Table as a show is they do that. They go, like, I think there's some food programming, because it's super niche, right? So, like, if you're watching some food shows and they start talking about all the, like, fancy cooking terminology or fancy, like, equipment, and it's kind of almost like a foreign language, this show is super approachable. So even if you don't know about cooking or cooking terminology or whatever, it's like, it's just such an interesting, compelling story about each chef and their sort of journey and their rise to huge success, because they follow all these hugely successful chefs. And so Christina Tosi is the creator of the crack pie. There's a famous dish called crack pie, which is, I have not tried it yet. They did just open a location in L.A.
Where?
I am seriously recommending it. It's in an old Baskin-Robbins location on La Brea, Melrose and La Brea.
Oh, so I'm going there tonight. That's on my route home. I'm going there tonight. Don't stalk me, you people.
If you really go, you have to post on Instagram and let us know, or post somewhere, because I haven't been yet.
Yeah, poster didn't happen.
Exactly. Pixar didn't happen, bro. Anyway, it's great. And she also is the like sort of founder of, you know how you've seen a lot of stuff with like cereal milk now? Infused in recipes. That's all Christina Tosi, guys. We have Christina Tosi to thank for the milk, like cereal milk trend. She started that.
Hey.
So they serve soft serve cereal milk.
All right. All right. Okay. I'll take pics. Hey, did you see a Boss Baby?
I've seen a bit of Boss Baby.
Oh no.
Wait, the series show, or the movie, or both?
Series. A friend of mine worked on the series. I can't say much until I can officially say I booked the interview. But I watched a little Boss Baby last night to kind of get a feel for the work he did in the event I get to interview him.
Dude, so what have you been, I mean, like, I know you've been like gallivanting and traveling a lot, but what's something that you watched while you were out of
series
there,
series of unfortunate events.
Oh no, this is great.
Glorious. I'm sure you guys covered that last week.
No.
Okay.
I my girlfriend watched season 2, didn't have any problems with it, enjoyed it. Like, she liked season 1. I, you know, it was on in bits and pieces, but I didn't really watch it. But I know it's like you should watch it if you like that franchise, but you talk about it.
Oh, I am ride or die for series of unfortunate
events. Oh, there we go. Steve Coppin's contributing. Great. Okay, go for it. Talk about it.
No, that show is incredible. Neil Patrick Harris just radiates it makes me want to read the books. And then because it's the second season, I feel bad that I haven't read the books, because there's no excuse. Like, I watched the first season and I was like, man, every two episodes is one probably fairly palatable 200 or 300 page book that I should have read, and I didn't. And now we're 2 seasons ahead. I like, there's a lot of meta jokes. There's a lot of literary jokes. There's a lot of wordplay.
There are a lot of guest stars.
There's so many guest stars. I'm not spoiling anything by saying Nathan Fillion
awesome.
Exists on that show. God, that show is so good.
I think Patrick Warburton's in it.
Patrick Warburton is the... It's. I don't think it's a spoiler. It's one of the very first things that happens in season 1. He is Lemony Snicket.
Oh, okay.
He is Lemony Snicket. The books are written by a separate author, but they're written in the first person of Lemony Snicket. So Lemony Snicket is both in the series is the narrator and a focal character in the story, but like post-mortem. It's really well done that it's a separate author who you like kind of have to dig to find out that author's name.
Interesting.
So much so that I keep forgetting it, because it keeps saying like Lemony Snicket's series of unfortunate events. It's head and shoulders above that Jim Carrey movie.
Well, yeah. So, okay. I was going to ask you, it's like, did you see the movie? And is it on Netflix? Do we know?
Triple check. I believe it was.
Because I saw that movie and I was not a fan. So
yeah, that's why I haven't watched the series, to be honest with you. Amy, are you watching the series?
I saw a few episodes.
Okay.
It was nice.
But you're like 10 years old, so you should like enjoy this. I mean, come on. I mean,
you know, you think I would. It's nice, and I can see how people really enjoy it. But it's, you guys must understand too, when you watch so many Netflix shows, you're like, Is this one better than this other one? No,
and that's exactly, that's why they, you know, that's why everybody tunes in, because we sit there and say, this is what we liked versus this.
What am I going to give my time to?
Yeah. So,
also, I love the idea of storytelling that literally tells you in the opening, this is a terrible story, please stop watching. And you don't. No one stops watching. That's what I love about, that's part of what I love about, I love when art promises you something up top and then delivers.
So it's not good?
No, it's great, and it's
but then
like,
it's lying.
No, it's saying they're saying that it's good, but that like it'll ruin your day.
Oh, it's sad.
It's ultimately a very sad story.
Interesting.
It's a series of unfortunate events that happen to two orphans.
So
that
chill,
is right the baby. There in the title.
Three orphans. I'm so sorry. There is a baby, Sunny.
Oh.
Gotcha.
Sonny's yapping at me right now.
So Chill 4, so are they going to finish on season 3 or 4? That has not been announced yet. If it does get announced, we'll definitely talk about it. And this is funny because Davies Njuguna. Sorry, man, if I butched it. Or
you
lady.
Don't pronounce the end.
Watch Lost in Space yesterday. It sucks, especially their dumb playback. So...
So okay, let's talk about
No. But this goes into something that I talked about last week. I talked about Everything Sucks, didn't get picked up. However, Amy Cassandra Martinez did drop a show that she was watching that she enjoyed. And what's the news on it? Alexa and Katie.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, I got not some hate for it, but people are like, yeah, it's for like teenagers or whatever, or young adults. Like, who freaking cares? When a show is good, you could be 30 and enjoy it. So they got picked up for a season 2.
Boom! Here, see, you heard it. So you heard a cancellation and a season pickup. So there you go.
I'm so happy for them. These girls deserve it. Like, yeah.
So we're on the right track somewhere.
That makes me glad to watch it, actually. Is it like in the vein of Gilmore Girls?
No. Okay. No, younger. Okay. But like, you'd be surprised how much you actually enjoy it. Like, yes, there's some cheesy moments, and you're like, oh, okay. But it's actually pretty good.
I
and there's
down
some,
with the cheese.
Some moments in there, you're like, dang. Like, that friendship is so strong. It's beautiful. Yeah.
All right, I'm going to watch it. One episode, half an hour episodes?
I think so. They're very easy to watch.
Easy to watch. Okay.
That's kind of one of the reasons why I started it.
So,
something easy.
Amy, so you do box office breakdown here.
I do.
And have you watched Truth or Dare? Is that out yet?
It is out. I haven't seen it. Don't really want to see it. This weekend actually wasn't super exciting in the box office.
Okay, well, we're not here to promote Truth or Dare, but Lucy Hale is in it, and she actually has a movie that's dropping on Netflix. I like Lucy Hale. I didn't really watch Pretty Little Liars, but I like her as an actress. Tons of people loved her, so...
Well, she's also in Life Sentence, which is on the CW...
That sounds correct.
Okay.
Yes. Okay, so, but I saw this kind of pop in, and I was like, oh, I love Lucy Hale. So here is the Dude trailer.
Oh, I haven't seen this. This will be great.
Yep, getting busted by the po-po.
What's going on back there?
I'm sorry.
Oh, Colton.
Oh, my God.
Who's on laser?
Yeah.
Oh, they're smoking illegal drugs, you guys.
What's that bong in the back seat?
Donk. That's funny. That's a sculpture that I made.
You're thinking, driving around with a bong in the back seat of your car. Even he got arrested.
Love it.
Oh, so it's a comedy. I love it.
Yeah.
Time is a terrible way of...
It's called Dude.
She looks exactly like Aria in Pretty Little Liars.
Like
the hair and everything.
She is in Pretty Little Liars.
No, I know.
She's but she looks like the character.
Oh. Okay.
Let's throw on some slutty dresses and get fucked up.
I love it. Oh, yeah. Wait,
get that explicit time, y'all.
Get that explicit time, y'all. No, Alexander Shrip. Yep.
Yes.
And she's Storm.
Yes.
Storm of the X-Men.
Including winter drugs. Like opium.
Oh, God.
Us going to school together, near each other. That is part of the plan.
Okay. My little cruise director.
Oh, yeah. She's in Catastrophe, I think, is a show. Or on Hulu.
Dick fingers. You cannot wear rings, but you have vaginal ears.
Wow.
You could wear earrings.
Oh, that's Awkwafina. That's Awkwafina, yeah.
Okay. 420, I see what.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Uh-huh. It's when it's dropping.
It's dropping on 420. Uh-huh.
There's a lot competing with our attentions on 420.
For black folks. Yes, I get you, though. I do.
You're going to NYU, and I'm going to Columbia. We're going to be life partners forever.
I don't even know if that's 100% what I want to do.
What?
Okay, coming of age, college style.
Oh, I'll be watching this.
Okay. Where the fuck is Lily?
I know. I wish Chloe was here, too.
Miss our token white friends.
It's ironic.
Cute, I like it.
That's right, that's right. See? Yeah.
This reminds me, this feels like Blockers if the parents just got out of the way.
Okay.
We'll find out.
I really like Blockers too.
I'm just saying.
Surrounded by brilliant women.
Oh, I forget what he's in. He's great too.
Hey,
Lil.
Hey, oh, he's my favorite.
Aren't you supposed to be in your class right now?
He should be interning.
This never happened.
Awesome. Jack Bray, whatever.
Yeah. McBrayer.
Yeah, McBrayer, yeah, yeah. So, hey, so cool. There we go. I mean, clearly that's coming out for a very specific day. And,
specific audience, if you will.
I'll be watching. I'll be watching. You guys, good. Yeah, come back and we'll tell you all about it. I'll be doing it with very clear eyes, though, when we report back.
Sure. Clear eyes, full heart, can't... Oh, different show.
Yeah. Yeah. I know, which is unfortunately not on Netflix.
I know. Friday Night Lights.
Mm-hmm. Mm. It was, wasn't it?
It was for a while.
Yeah.
Let's bring it back.
Those NBC shows cycle through.
Yeah.
So, again, I wanted to say thanks, guys. You guys always can find us here every Sunday at 7 o'clock. And I want to say thanks to the guys who are watching. Xavier Jones, you're Xavier Jones Jr., you're very loyal. Jay Becker. Let's see. Davies, you're new. And thank you. And so thank you for watching. So Chill 4, I've seen you here before. Bad Bunny, I believe you've been here before. Star Drew, I know you're here. How is Canada, by the way?
Hey, Star Drew.
So,
Anakin.
Did you catch my A right?
Anakin,
64.
Yep.
And so, Anakin, our Star Wars fan.
Mm. Yeah.
Cool.
So, we do picks, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you remember how the show goes? But now we tell people what we're going to
do. I've not been here for a pick.
Normally, like for most after shows here, there's always a predictions part, but we don't have a predictions part so much as it's like we should just kind of we have our top three to kind of say this is what we either want to be watching, what we think you should be watching. Amy Cassandra Martinez, what do you got?
Okay, so here's the deal. I started watching Lost in Space, right? And I was like, you know what? I'm not in the mood for this right now. So then I just went and watched a couple sitcoms that I had actually never seen.
Tell us more.
The first one was That 70s Show.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's a great show.
Yeah. If you've never seen it, give it a try. I saw the pilot. Then I saw Grace and Frankie.
So good.
Oh, my gosh.
Good. So good. It's the opposite of your Alex and Alexa, where it's like you think it's a much older audience, but it's awesome.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah. I try not to let the geared audience thing really guide my decisions because I could really enjoy anything. So Chill asked, so do you guys watch TV shows from other countries' languages on Netflix? So I meant to talk about this a while ago. I actually saw Veronica. It's a very scary movie.
Oh, is it good?
Yes.
Okay, I'm gonna watch it.
It's from Spain. So yes,
España.
There are subtitles, but it's so good. It is so good. So two sitcoms, if you've never seen them, try those. And then if you want to watch something really scary, definitely watch Veronica.
Steve Coppin, what do you got?
Pick a number. Rick, pick a number between 1 and 5.
3.
Please pick a number between...
2.
All right, then I will be watching season... I will be watching and recommending season 3, episode 2 of The West Wing.
West
Wing is good. West Wing is good. I've heard that.
Just that's a game I play where I just randomly pick an episode of The West Wing.
So you've
really
seen all of West Wing already?
Yes, I have.
Okay, so that's
and that's actually the first part of a two-parter, Manchester Part 1 and Part 2. I'll watch both of those this week. I'll report back. Also, Extras. I've mentioned before Ricky Gervais. Extras was through the BBC, but it wound up on HBO. So to see it on Netflix is actually really, really cool.
Oh, really? Because it's not on HBO. I was looking for Extras.
Yeah, like it should be on HBO Go, but it's on my list. It's on Netflix. Also, just a quick note. Netflix, you have Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest. The newest one. Dead Man's Chest is easily the worst Pirates movie, and come at me in the comments.
Oh, no, I don't think anybody's going to fight you on that, would they?
It was literally the worst Pirates movie.
I don't think anybody could fight you on that. It's terrible, awful.
But yeah, that's also Boss Baby is better than expected, and my next guest with David Letterman, he's got Jay-Z.
Can't
miss that.
It's so good. I love listening to him talk. Like, just, I don't care. I don't even know what he's saying. He's such a good one. Okay, Jay-Z. My turn?
Yes.
Okay, great. I cannot recommend highly enough Chef's Table, guys. The pastry series is...
Anyone.
Any of them, but particularly, I mean, who doesn't love baked goods? I feel like everybody can relate to baked goods, so it's really good. Definitely Chef's Table, pastry. Oh, look, Siri even wants to talk about it. and then I'm also going to say, I have been deep, like it's almost painful because I want to get out of it, but I cannot stop watching Shameless. I am... so deep in it. I know
it's fun.
You know who talked to him on the carpet 2 weeks ago, last week was both myself and Amy Castaneda Martinez.
I'm going to talk with you offline about it because I love him and I'm obsessed. But this show, I cannot stop watching. And it's like, there's so many seasons. There's 9 seasons of it. So I recommend it with caution because you're going to get sucked in. And I'm like, now I'm to the point where I'm like, get me out. I got to stop watching Shameless. And then I think those are my top 2. And then I'll give you as a third Ugly Delicious because it's also really good. And you'll see some crossover in the chef world. You'll start to feel like you're an insider in like the chef's world because you'll see David Chang. He makes an appearance on, hope everybody's okay out there, on Chef's Table as well. that's what I got.
Here's a show that we do cover at AfterBuzz TV, and it's currently not running here because it's like, but it's on Netflix and you should watch it, is Crazy Ex-Girlfriend with Rachel Bloom.
Love that show.
Yeah, Rachel.
So there's 3 seasons right now, and they just announced that they're going to pick it up for a season 4, and she also said that she plans on wrapping up a series for season 4 for that character.
Because it was announced that it was canceled at one point.
No, never mind. That's why Steve Kaufman is always misinformation. That's why you come to me when you want things going.
Fake news.
That's kind of like my first pick. And then let me see.
They have a live show now, Rachel.
Oh yeah,
they're doing a live version of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. They're touring around with that.
What?
Just throwing that out there for you. So if you want to get tickets, check that out on the interwebs.
Not sponsored,
but Rachel is a friend.
Yeah, and if you guys love Abby Jacobson and Alana Glazer, who are the Broad City Girls, who are freaking hilarious. If you want to see Abby Jacobson do something dramatic, there's a movie that dropped, and I've been planning on watching it. Dave Franco was also in it. James Franco's younger brother. Six Balloons.
So I just know 99 balloons.
And 99 Luft balloons.
They're still balloons.
But Luft
the
balloons.
Song?
99.
sorry. And then finally, we've got Mina Wahab, one of our AfterBuzzers, fellow AfterBuzzers, talked about it a few weeks ago. I finally started watching it. The Imposter season 1. And we actually have Imposter season 2 that's playing here at AfterBuzz for an after show. I'll try to get you those details or just go look at us up on AfterBuzzTV.com. And Amy Cassandra Martinez, where can everybody find you?
On all social media at Amy Cassandra MTZ. Also a lot of shows here at AfterBuzz Popcorn Talk, so just make sure you follow me. And I've been doing trailer reaction videos. They're very fun. Oh, thank you. Those are on YouTube. Just follow me on Instagram. You'll know where everything is.
Steve Kaufman.
Steve Kaufman. You can find me on Twitter almost exclusively at Steve Kaufman. That is KAUFMANN. I do a lot of shows here at AfterBuzz. I tweet about them fairly regularly. I also run YouTube accounts for pro wrestlers, so if you're into YouTube or pro wrestlers, you should definitely follow me.
Yes, I've just been waiting for the
Oh, yeah! All right, Ashley Chaney.
Guys, if you want to talk to me online about food or travel or any of that good stuff, I posted some pictures from my culinary adventures this weekend on Instagram, and that is at Ashley on Camera. So find me at Ashley on Camera. Let's talk about whatever you want to talk about, but find me there.
Hey, guys, and I'm Rick Hong. You can find me on all social media at Rick Hong, R-I-C-K-H-O-N-G, and I do the Legion After Show, which is on Wednesdays at 10 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. And right before this one, we just debuted with The Expanse season 3, episode 1. So next week, right before this show, you can tune in, and I'll be covering The Expanse. So there's that. And next week, we'll talk to you guys soon.
Bye.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.